Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And let's go ahead and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that's in it. And Father, we just thank you for the edification that we receive from it. And we just thank you for the ministry here. And the ministry of Berean Bible Church and being able to fellowship with the saints in your word all over the nation and all over the world. And we just pray that this be a time where we may learn and understand some things. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and if you will, verse 8. We'll start in let's start in verse 1. See, I'm going to mess you guys up already. We'll start in verse 1, and we'll read down 3, verse 13. He goes, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." Now, if you go ahead and you we're going to pick up in verse 8 here, we've gone through and Paul is talking to the Gentiles here, to the saints at Ephesus. He's talking to them about how he wants them to understand the mystery. He wants them to know the mystery. When they read this epistle, when they read his books, he wants them to understand and to know the mystery program the same way that he knows the mystery program, and the same way that he understands the mystery program. And you know, that's something that we need to think about, because a lot of times people just don't understand that. They don't understand that the mystery program is something that we need to learn, that we need to know. A lot of people, the mystery is still a mystery to them. The mystery is not something that's been revealed. It's not something that they understand. It's not something that God has made known unto them. Even though he has revealed it in the Holy Scriptures, we do have it in the Word of God, they still do not know the mystery, because they choose not to read and understand some things. When you understand, a mystery is just simply something that's been kept secret, something that's been hid. And so God has revealed it with the Apostle Paul, and we're going to go on and we're going to look and we're going to see some of these things. But what I want you to understand is Paul really has a desire for us to know the mystery program, for us to understand it. Now, if you look, and verse 8, he says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Now, Paul says, "Unto me," he's talking about himself, "who am less than the least of all saints." You see, Paul never looked at himself and said he's real, and figured he was puffed up. If you will, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. a lot of times people think, oh, you know, Paul, he was just real arrogant, and he always talked about himself, and he always tried to boast himself. He did everything but boast himself. You know, the Apostle Paul, he didn't have anything to boast in save the cross of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul did not go and try to say, look at me, look what I'm doing. He was the opposite of that. But yet, because of, and I guess the reason some people think this, because of the teaching that of grace believers and the teaching of understanding the mystery and talking about the Apostle Paul and his ministry to the body of Christ, what happens is people, they go ahead and they say, no. Paul's more magnified here than Lord Jesus Christ, and that's not true. What we understand is we understand a message that's been given to the Apostle Paul. But Paul himself, he says, I am the least of all saints. I mean, he wouldn't come walking in and think he was better than you. He wouldn't, you know, Paul wouldn't have that type of spirit. Paul wouldn't have that type of thinking. Look at verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10. He says, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. You see what's happening? Is he says, listen, I am the least of the apostles. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle. I'm a guy. I mean, if you knew what I did to the church, if you knew what I did, and you gotta remember, folks, when he's talking about the church here, he's talking about the kingdom church. Okay, he's not talking about the body of Christ. He was talking about the kingdom church, and he says, listen, guys, he says. He goes, I'm not worthy to be an apostle. Man, if you knew what I did to those kingdom saints. He goes, I'm not worthy to be an apostle. He says, I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But look at verse 10. See, this will all... Sorry. By the grace of God, he says, I am what I am. And it's nice to know that by the grace of God, when we go ahead and we go and we understand some things, we understand how that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, and we're justified freely by God's grace, and we're given all things, all spiritual blessings, and total forgiveness of sins, and all these things. You know what? That's by God's grace. And he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And folks, you know, that's how, by God's grace, you are what you are. You know who you are? You're a saint. You're a saint of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. You know what you are? You are a member of the body of Christ. You are seated with Christ at the right hand of God in heavenly places. You are a son of God. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Why? Why do you have all these... What? Because of God's grace. It's only because of God's grace. That's the only reason. And that's why he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Folks, it's by God's grace. You know, I call that the Popeye verse. For those of you who know the Popeye, the cartoon, he says, I am what I am. And you know, that's That's we are, we am, we are who we are. We are, we are all these things. God looks at us differently. I taught at the school I teach at. They asked me to do elementary chapel. Someone didn't show up, and they asked me to do it. And I taught from first to sixth graders how God sees them. I wanted them to understand the way God sees them. If they believe the gospel and they're a member of the body of Christ, I wanted them to understand that God sees them. God sees them differently. God sees them as a saint. God sees them not as a sinner. You see, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You see, so it's by God's grace that we're saved. It's by His grace that we understand something. See, God is the one that's revealed all these things to us. God's the one that makes us understand these things. Look back at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. He says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given." You know, and that's one of those things you got to understand. This is something that's the gospel is something that has been given to the Apostle Paul. It's something that is a precious gift. It's something that people need to understand is not just a responsibility, but it's a privilege. If you will, look over at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. In 1 Thessalonians 2, 4, he says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak." You know what? God has allowed us. God didn't say, "You got to go do this." Folks, I mean, there is a responsibility. But what I want you to understand, God didn't say, "You got to go do this as a responsibility." But God says, "Man, here's a privilege. Here's something I'm going to let you do." Isn't that neat? I mean, there's one thing to say, you know, when your parents say, "Hey, you know, you got to go take out the trash," or you know, your wife says, or your spouse says, "You need to go do this," or "You need to go do that," or whatever. It's not the issue of something that you have to do, but it's the issue of you being allowed to do something, someone letting you to do something. And that's what, to me, is a wonderful thing, because he says there in 1 Thessalonians 2, 4, he goes, "But as we were allowed," He allowed us, He led us. It's a privilege, it's an honor. We're allowed of God to be put and trust with the gospel, even so we speak. So here he talks about how the grace is given, the gospel, the grace of God has been given to the Apostle Paul. The gospel, the grace of God, is something that he gave to him. Look over at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Yes, Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Acts 20 and verse 24. Now look here, he says here, in Acts 20 and verse 24, he says unto him, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God." You see, the gospel of grace has been given to the Apostle Paul. everything that he's doing is by the grace that's given to the Apostle Paul. And so he's been given the grace to do these things. He's been given the grace to be able to preach the gospel and been given the grace to do the things that he needs to do. Look at Romans 15 and verse 15. Romans 15 and verse 15. Romans 15:15. He said, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you, in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God." You see, God's the one that's given him the grace. God's the one that's given him the message. God's the one that's given him these things. And the message has been given to the Apostle Paul by God's grace. You see, this grace has been given to him. So it's a wonderful thing that the Apostle Paul has. And he says in Ephesians chapter 3, back to Ephesians 3 and verse 8, he says, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God." Where's his ministry? Who's his ministry to? He says, "I preach among the Gentiles." See, this is real important for us to know. This is real important for us to understand that Paul's ministry is not to the nation of Israel. Paul's ministry is to the Gentiles. If you will, look at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 and verse 13. Romans 11 and verse 13. In Romans 11, 13, Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." You see, he speaks to the Gentiles. Why? Because he's the apostle of the Gentiles. And when he says, "I magnify," he doesn't say, "I magnify myself." Paul doesn't say, "I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify myself. I magnify..." He says, "I magnify mine office. I magnify the position I have. I magnify the position of an apostle and how God has made me an apostle. I'm not magnifying myself. I'm least. I'm the least of all saints. But I understand the apostleship here is important. And not just the apostleship, but the apostleship that God has to the Gentiles. You don't think he's to go to the Gentiles? Look over at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, and if you want, you can go ahead and you can grab Acts 26 also, but Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. Acts chapter 9 and verse 6 and verse 15. Acts 9:15, he says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." You see, what we got to understand is that when he tells Ananias who Paul is going to be preaching to, he tells him that he's going to bear his name, and the first group of people mentioned is the Gentiles. The Gentiles are anybody that's not the nation of Israel. If you look, he says, "and the kings and the children of Israel." You see, Paul's got an everyman ministry. And that opposite, that's different than what the apostles had. The apostles were not to go to the Gentiles. The apostles were not to go into any city of the Samaritans. The apostles were only to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And they were only supposed to go to the nation of Israel. But yet now the Apostle Paul is supposed to go to the nations. That's all the nations that are not, that's not Israel. And that's who his message is to. You see, God is now dealing with the Gentiles, a group of people that he had put off and not dealt with before. Now he's dealing with the Gentiles. And so what happens is Israel has fallen, they've been set aside, and now God, and they're down to the level of the Gentiles. And today, folks, I want you to understand something. Today there is no Jew or Gentile. And I'm not talking about the body of Christ. Today there is no Jew or Gentile. Today there is no nation of Israel. I understand the nation of Israel over there, and I understand all the issues going on, but in God's eyes, the nation of Israel has fallen. They're all uncircumcised. You see, that was the major thing that was the difference between Jew and Gentile, was one was circumcised, one was uncircumcised. But in God's mind, they're all uncircumcised. The fleshly circumcision doesn't mean a thing today. The thing today is that they're all uncircumcised in the heart. And the heart's been an issue. And Stephen talks about you uncircumcised in heart and ears. You see, it's the issue of they're not Israel anymore. Look at Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. And look at verse 16 and 17. Acts 26, verse 16 and 17. And so what happens is we see that Israel is not the issue. God's not dealing with the nation of Israel today. He says in verse 16, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." Look at verse 17. "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." You see, so the issue here is that he's going and he's dealing with the Gentiles. God's issue is that he's dealing with the Gentiles. You see, that's something we've got to understand. So not just in the body of Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile, but just out there. See, but you got to remember, at one time, God wanted to deal with the nation of Israel, and he did deal with them differently than he did the rest of the world. But see, God doesn't deal with Israel differently now. Everybody's saved. Everybody's on the same level. We don't have to keep a law. We don't have to keep a system of do's and don'ts. We don't have to live a certain way. What happened was Israel fell. And we're all down on the same level. And when Christ died for all, you see, that's why he says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, when he talks about the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Folks, that many there is the nation of Israel. You see, he was explaining to the apostles how he came to save his people from their sins. But what has happened is that we understand to understand some things, is that we now know that God, when he sent his son to die, he died for all of our sins, Jew and Gentile. It doesn't matter. And so we've got to have this understanding. The nation of Israel is not an issue. God has sent Paul to the Gentiles, and when he thinks about those Jews that are lost, they're considered uncircumcised. They're considered the uncircumcision. And Paul has a message to them too. You know what it is? Christ died for your sins. It's not keep the law. It's not be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not call Christ Messiah. It's not any of those things. It's not sell all that you have and give to the poor. You know what it is? It's Christ died for your sins. That's what it is. So, what we've got to understand is we have to understand how important it is to know that Paul's message, He is the apostle of the Gentiles. He says, unto me, whom less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles. Another passage on that, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And look at verse 7. 1 Timothy 2, 7. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1 and verse 11. He says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. You see, Paul's message was to the Gentiles. It was not to the nation of Israel, but it was to the Gentiles. And back to Ephesians 3 and verse 8. He says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And so we've got to understand how that Christ we need to know, and we need to understand that the riches of God's grace is not something you're going to find anywhere else. When he talks about it being unsearchable, it's untraceable. It's something you can't find out. It's something you can't see. You can't look it up in the scriptures. You can't look it up from Genesis to Malachi. You can't find it in Matthew to Acts. It's not there. You see, the mystery program, the dispensation of grace, was something that was kept secret, and it's unsearchable. Look at John chapter 5 and verse 39. John 5 and verse 39. In John 5, verse 39, he's talking to him, and he says, the Lord Jesus Christ says to him, he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He says, search the scriptures. See, that's the issue. Search the scriptures. And that's what he's telling them to do. But can I tell you, folks? I can tell everyone out there right now, search the scriptures. Show me from Genesis to Acts, the mystery program. Show me the dispensation of the grace of God. Show me the body of Christ where Jew and Gentile are baptized into one body and there is no difference. You can't find it. You can't show it to me because it's not there. And the reason you know it's not there is because it's unsearchable. It's untraceable. You can't find it. It's the unsearchable riches of Christ. Those riches, look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. In Colossians 1, verse 27, he says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. You want to know the riches of God's glory? You want to know the riches of what God's doing? You want to know the riches of His grace? You want to know the riches of all the things He's done? You want to know God's riches? Folks, it ain't in money. Folks, it's not in gold or silver. It's not in a car. It's not in a boat. It's not in a house. It's not in a business. It's not in a big church. It's not in a church building. It's not in any of these things. You know what the riches are? The riches is Christ. That's the riches. The riches is Christ. You see, it's Christ. And it's not just the Lord Jesus Christ seated in the heavenly places. It's not just the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the throne It's not just the Lord Jesus Christ doing some things way up where we can. You know what? It's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. And who is it? He's the hope of glory. You see, one day you're going to get a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. One day you're going to go ahead and you're going to be resurrected. One day, you know what? You might not even die, folks. I believe the rapture is imminent. That means I believe it could happen any time. That's just me. Call me wacky, call me goofy, call me crazy. But if I don't believe that the rapture is going to happen while I'm still alive, then you know what? It's no hope to me. I might as well look forward to dying. But you see, I don't look forward to dying. I don't look for those things. You see, what I do is I search the Scriptures. And I understand that there's a hope that I have. And that hope is that maybe at this second, there's going to be a shout. There's going to be a last trump. See, I have Christ in me. He's that hope of glory. He's that hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the riches. You want to know what the riches are? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Compare that. Compare those riches with Galatians 4, verse 8. Galatians 4, verse 8 and 9. Folks, when you understand grace, you understand grace is all that God has freely given you. You understand all that God has done for you. You understand what grace is. And then you go, and the riches that are involved in, talks about the riches of His grace. And you know what most people do? They go back under a system. They go on back under a religious system. And in Galatians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, Paul says, "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods." When you didn't know God, you know who you served? Some dumb idols. They weren't even gods. But then he goes on, and he says in verse 9, "But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" Folks, can I tell you, you got two choices. You can be in the weak and beggarly, the law system, or you can be in the riches of Christ. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have two choices. Now, just because you're saved and you're in one doesn't mean you're going to get out of it. But my point is living your practical Christian life, your practical walk, you can walk in the weak and beggarly elements of the law under that system of bondage. He calls it bondage, where you're chained. The law is the knowledge of sin, and the law brings forth wrath, and that's what you can be under. Or what you can do is you can realize who you are in Christ. You can realize that you've been baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. You can realize that you're a full-grown, mature son of God. And what happens is you understand now that because you're a full-grown, mature son of God, that Christ is in you, that one day you're going to get a body fashioned like unto His, and that you can live that resurrected life now. You see, that, living that resurrected life now, that, you got to understand, you see, that's living in the riches of His grace. One is, you can live under a bondage system of the law. The second is, you can live under a system of hope. You can live under the understanding of hope, the understanding of who you are in Christ, you can live as if you're already resurrected. Wow, man, that's a beautiful thing. To live as if you're already resurrected. To me, that's a wonderful, tremendous thing. Why do people want to put themselves under that law system? You know, if you let Christ live his life through you, you take the Word of God into your heart, into your mind, into your soul. You know what's going to work out? Christ is going to work out. But you know what's going to, you know what you'll do? You're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to bear false witness. You're not going to have any other gods before you. You're not going to take the Lord God's name, his name. You're not going to do any of those things. The only one that you won't do is you won't keep the Sabbath. Because there is no Sabbath for us. But the point is you'll do the things that you should be doing. But there's not a system for you to have to keep the law. You see, that's not it. What we got to understand is living and understanding the riches of his grace, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, wonderful thing. Ephesians 3, verse 9. Ephesians 3, verse 9. We need to move on. In Ephesians 3, 9, he says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Now, who does he want us to show this to? Just a few people? Just our friends? Just some people we like? No, he says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of his mystery. If you look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. Colossians 1:23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. You see, God has a purpose not to just tell people that don't care. God wants to tell all men. You see, he wants to tell all men. It's an every man ministry. He wants to tell all men. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. How many of you have a desire to know the gospel, know the truth, know the mystery? You have a desire to give the gospel out to people. You have a desire to tell others how that Christ died for their sins. You have a desire to show people how that they can go from death unto life. But then with the same understanding of the mystery and the joy that you found in understanding the mystery, you have no desire to have people understand the mystery program. You see, a lot of people just don't understand the mystery program. They need to know the mystery program. They need to understand the mystery program. They need to understand and know what's going on with the mystery. And I'm going to tell you, the mystery program, it's something that sets people free. And what's it set them free from? From the bondage. It sets them free. I remember when I came and I understood and had some understanding and knowledge of the mystery, you know what I did? When I had an understanding of knowledge in the mystery program, it was, and I'm not going to say I got saved again, it was like being saved again, though. Alright? It wasn't as wonderful as being saved. But I will tell you this, when I understood Paul's My Gospel as part of the mystery program, boy, it was like I really started to understand my salvation. I really started to understand what God did for me. And what happens is we seem to, we got all, I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm watching all these people, they're probably not listening, but they're all typing about sin and sins. And folks, if you understood the mystery program, you know what? You wouldn't be talking about sin and sins. What you'd be doing is you'd just be thanking God for your forgiveness and sins. You'd be thanking God that your sin nature is dead in Christ. You'd be thanking God that he's forgiven you all trespasses. Most people who are in the mystery pro, who don't understand the mystery program, they have a problem with it. They don't understand it. They don't understand what it is to have total forgiveness of sin. They don't understand to know what it is to not be a sinner, but to be a saint. You know why? People take them right over to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I told you about a bumper sticker. I don't know if I told some of you folks on the internet, but my son saw a bumper sticker. I was in the car with him, and we were at the bank, and the bumper sticker said, "If you are still sinning, then you are not saved." 1 John 1:9. Folks, first of all, 1 John is not written to us as members of the body. If I did not even understand that verse would not bother me. You know why? Because it's not written to me as a member of the body. Okay, oh boy. Things just kind of go haywire. Anyway, I know, I'm back. It says, what we got to understand is that it's not written to us as members of the body of Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 is not written to us. So, we've got to understand some things. And can I say one thing real quick? Christians are perfect in Christ. When you think of the word perfect the way that the scripture talks about perfect, perfect means mature. Perfect means complete. And it says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, "For ye are complete in him." You see, I am perfect in Christ. I'm not perfect in me, in my flesh, but in Christ I am perfect. And when we start thinking about who we are and living the way, you got to first know who you are. Isn't that what Paul says in Romans chapter 6? Know ye not, knowing this, know. You got to know some things. You got to have some understanding. Then what do? You reckon it. You believe it. You take it as faith. You take it as fact. You take the fact of knowing something and you have faith in it and you believe it as true, then you yield. You see, you put your body to use. That's another message for another time. But anyhow, Ephesians chapter 3, he says in verse 9, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." So he wants people to know what the fellowship of the mystery. And the word there is fellowship. The word there is not dispensation, okay? It's the fellowship of the mystery. The mystery is the dispensation of, if you will, look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 and 26. Colossians 1, 25 and 26. The fellowship dispensation you're going to find in Colossians. Fellowship is different, folks. Have you ever sat around a table and dispensated? No, man. You sit around the table and you fellowship. You have a good time. You enjoy. You hear the definition, fellowship is two fellows in a ship going the same direction. And that's a very true statement, and that's what we do. And so what happens is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, it says, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid in God, been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." So what happens is we understand something. We understand here that the issue is we want people not just to have all men see what is the distance, but we all men see what is the fellowship. There's an issue of a fellowship going on here. There's an issue of the fellowship now between a group of people that God had set apart and separated and now together in one body in Christ. There's a fellowship, and he wants us to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world. Now, this is very interesting. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so he talks about in the beginning of the world. It's been what? Hid. When God created the earth, when God created the heaven in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you know what the mystery was? It was hid. The mystery was kept secret. The mystery was not made known. It was hid in God. If you will, look at, compare two passages of Scripture. Grab Romans chapter 16 and Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse 21, Romans 16, 25. Acts 3, 21, Romans 16, 25. Now, look at this here. He says in Acts chapter 3 and verse 21, he says, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. What did God do? God's been talking about the kingdom. God's focus and issue on the earth has been the kingdom, you see. And it's been spoken, not kept secret, not shut up, not kept quiet about, but spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So before the world began, you see, what happened, what was God talking about? What was God's focus on? It was on the kingdom. That's what it was focused on, the kingdom. But look at Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Romans 16 and verse 25. In Romans 16, 25, he says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. You know what he says? There's two things that establish him. Paul's my gospel. Paul says my gospel and the not the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the prophets. Not the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the earthly ministry and the things going on there and the prophecies that Christ came to fulfill, but the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. See, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the mystery, how that Christ is the head of this body of Christ that's been kept secret. The mystery, which has been kept secret. When's it been kept secret? Since the world began. That means when God created the heaven and the earth, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, you know how many people he told about the mystery? Nobody. Zero. He didn't make it known until he made it known unto the Apostle Paul. You see, this was something he didn't tell anybody. He hid it. That's what he said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations. You see, it was hid in God. He hid it himself. He kept it secret. He kept it secret. And so he goes on and he says there in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. I'm sorry, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things. Now, if you noticed, that's where I ended. I said, it was hidden God who created all things. Now, my Bible doesn't say that. My Bible continues. But can I tell you something real quick to make everybody who doesn't carry a King James mad at me? If you don't carry a King James Bible, It's a corrupt Bible. Why is it corrupt? Because a verse that tells me that the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of all things, but yet Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. A verse that tells me that Christ created all things is missing in all the other Bibles. By Jesus Christ, you see. By Jesus Christ. And, yeah, you know, it's so funny, it's hard to teach. When people want to go and they want to mess with the verses. Just read the verse. Folks, he says that it was kept secret. From the beginning of the world has been hidden God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's a good verse. That's a good verse to show someone that Christ is creator. That's a good verse to show the deity of Christ. That's a good verse for people to understand. And if I can show you something that would make you understand why we use the Bible we use, we don't correct it. We don't. All we do, we don't defend it. We just proclaim it. Folks, it's because there's verses in here that are strong to the faith. And when they're messed with, what happens is it makes people waver. This is Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 and verse 16 and 17. You see, he's created all things by Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1, 16 and 17, it says, for by him, who's the him there? The Lord Jesus Christ is who he's talking about. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You know what? You see, you got to understand that Christ, you see, it's Christ is the one who created all things. He's part of the Godhead. He's God the Son. And these verses show this. And so back to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 8 and 9, he says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship and the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. It's nice to know about the mystery program. It's nice to make it so that the mystery program is not a secret anymore. The mystery program is something that we can know, something that we can understand. The mystery program is something that God kept secret, but now he's made it known. And he didn't make it known so that we could all keep it secret from everybody else. He made it known so that all men, he says to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. He wants all men to know and understand. Folks, I understand that all men don't want to hear it. Just like all men don't want to hear Christ died for their sins. Now, how many, you get more people that turn you down. Would you like the free, if you said, would you like a free ice cream cone? And it's 20 degree weather, they'll take it. Do you want something free? They'll take something free. But you say you want the free gift of eternal life, people don't want it. But if you say, hey, you can have something this free, they'll take it, but not eternal life. And you got more people that turn down the free gift of eternal life than take it. I understand that. Just like you're going to have more people that don't want to understand the mystery. They don't want to understand the fellowship of the mystery. They're not want to. But still, if we don't tell people about it, then who's going to? You see, it's given unto us to do. And if you are saved, you have a responsibility. But if you know the mystery, you have even a greater responsibility. So, it's a wonderful thing to know the mystery. It's a wonderful thing. I tell you, Ephesians chapter 3 is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous chapter. And most people, of course, they like to read 1 through 9 and stop there. Of course, we'll finish, but just a tremendous chapter to be able to show people the mystery of God. All right, well, I'd like to thank everybody for being a part of the study. I thank everybody for the patience, and I thank those who are here. Last week, I just forgot.